It smells amazing.
Welcome to our Film Fathers Podcast, the definitive podcast about fatherhood, film, and fatherhood in film. This is Jelani, and with me as always are the runts in the semi-basement, Martin and Brady. You have another asset that'll make your life easier, something money can't buy. You look like a nice guy.
You need more than guts to be a good gangster. You need ideas.
You know what kind of plan never fails? No plan. No plan at all. You know why? Because life cannot be planned.
Welcome to week three of Genre June.
Genre June!
To recap, each week this month we are highlighting a different genre, and each of us are offering up a recommendation for each one. This week, foreign language films. Good stuff. Good stuff.
I thought these were three excellent movies.
We hit it out of the park.
Yeah, we nailed it. I'm very glad that my initial choice was not available, because I think you guys might enjoy it.
I haven't seen either
it.
Of them.
Yeah, so you hadn't seen Parasite or Amelie.
Amelie was your first choice.
Amelie was my first choice.
It did not. We had issues acquiring said film.
It's just not the most dad-centric, guy-centric movie, so you guys might be like, what the hell were you thinking? But I do remember it being
that when you put it on the list without even knowing.
It is one of my favorites, but I haven't seen it since it came out. I think it was like around 2000. So yeah, I was glad. I'm like, makes much more sense to do Parasite, which is a newer movie.
But and that was, again, I had one we had talked I hadn't seen. So for me, it was going to be new and fresh one way or the other. Yeah. And to be fair, I hadn't seen Jelani's either. So
yeah, I wouldn't have pictured many people would have seen it. Nuevas Reinas from 2000.
Well, let's talk quick a little bit about foreign language. I mean, just in general, I feel like, so this is an ongoing topic to an extent with us, just with the closed captioned aspect that you guys, I know we've talked about, kind of watch everything now with closed caption, and I think that's, I tend to think that's the like the biggest obstacle for some people is why they won't watch foreign language films is because, oh, I have to read. And I feel like a long time ago I realized that that's not that cumbersome.
Yeah, it kind of was this week for me, just having three in a row, 'cause you don't normally do it, and you can't not read, you know, and just like passively watch. You have to always have eyes on the screen. But, you know, it worked out. And they were really good movies, like I said. So
I was going to say, I think that kind of gets you into the movie more, right? Because you can't just passively watch it. You can't just put it on and put it in the background.
Put your phone up.
Right.
Right.
Like, you get sucked in and you have to kind of pay attention. And I think because you do that, you get more of the story. I think you get more involved. You get more involved with the characters. You feel some of the emotions that are going on. And I think, you know, you just get a richer experience. And I'll talk to it in one of the movies that we watched this week. Yeah, I think it kind of changes your outlook of how to watch movies.
I agree. I think the focus is without a doubt just, I think it's if any of us took a macro vantage point of how we view TV or movies, it's like, yeah, sometimes you're on your phone, sometimes you're maybe hearing what's going on in the other room. Like, in general, you're rarely solely focused on the movie. It's just kind of the way that the world exists now. There's just too much other stuff going on, and no one has time to just sit and only watch a movie. And you're right. When you have to read every scene and be paying attention at all times, it does change the viewing experience, and I think in a very positive way. So yeah, I just kind of wanted to touch on that because I do think there are people, maybe less so now, but I think it took me a while, you know, to get where I was like that I would want to watch a foreign language film and have to read, you know. But once I did, there's a lot of great content out there.
Yeah, and it opens up for so many other movies. I mean, There's a ton of movies that just came out recently. Another Round is one that I definitely will, you know, watch now, and I don't care that's a foreign language.
It won best foreign language film, right, this year?
I think so.
I think.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's one that just looks like an interesting story, and because it's foreign language, you're just accustomed to like, okay, well, I'll put it on, I'll pay attention and get involved.
Do you remember, like, maybe what your first foreign language film was, or maybe what would have been? I don't have mine at the ready. But was Crouching Tiger in the 90s?
That was like right around 2000, I think. Maybe late,
so
late 90s.
I know that would have been pretty close to early because it got so much acclaim. And I was like, I have to watch this.
So I think I watched that one. But I will say that Nuevas Reinas and Amores Perros.
I almost picked that one too. I remember that one.
Those were two of the big ones. And part of that was because of the course I took at Iowa. It was cinema in Spanish or Spanish film. And that's all we did was we watched Spanish films.
Oh, applicable name.
Yeah, it did. But one of the things was it was part of my minor in Spanish. And so the whole class was taught in Spanish. So that's all we spoke in class. And I want to say that when we watched Nueves Reinas, we watched it at the Bijou. And I'm trying to think if they even had subtitles. I think it might have been all in Spanish.
Well, maybe.
For us.
You think she requested it?
It possibly.
They're only going to enjoy that's this. That's very possible. They're all in on
this. I was on the board at the Bijou. So, yes, yeah, so we definitely brought it. I'm pretty sure that's where I saw it as well. And I think I may have recommended it as like, because we always had like a group of people that would, we would talk about which movies you were going to bring. So I'm pretty sure I saw this and I was like, oh, it looks like, you know, a con movie that I'd be into. So,
yeah. And that's
funny.
That's where we saw it. I remember going, it was like, it wasn't when we watched in class, like you had to make time to go see this one. And me and another classmate went and we saw it and I was like, that was awesome. That was so good. And it was so much fun. And it's so like, you know, again, it's a con movie. You know, I'm a big confidence
totally
person.
Love it.
Like you give me a con movie and I'm like, all right, let's see how the, like you said, Martin, last week with the cross and the double cross and then the triple cross. So all of those were in play. And then you just see how it played out at the very end. And you're just like, ah, so good. So good.
Had you seen the remake?
I have seen the remake.
Which one?
Criminal, yep. With John C. Reilly.
I feel like I've seen that, but I just don't remember it. And even watching this now, it doesn't like bring that doesn't bring anything back for me.
Yeah,
there's an Indian remake as well that was.
Oh, really?
Didn't know that. I figured I knew the answer to which one you saw, but I weirdly thought that might come up. So there was an Indian version called Bluff Master in 2005 as well. So.
That one sounds like it has more special effects. Puffs of smoke and things like that.
So did you guys know, do you remember the twist at the end of this one?
Yes.
Yeah, like you well, recall
this is my it. First time. So
for,
I was,
oh, first time.
Yeah, so I definitely didn't know. And I did kind of feel like something was going on, but I definitely didn't know exactly what was happening.
Right. Yeah, it was just one of those films where you're following along and you're like, oh, man. Everything that goes wrong, you're just like, oh, like they had it, and then they didn't have it, and then they're like, all right, well, you know, let's try this. And again, like we said last week, you know, being able to think on the fly, like, okay, well, you have some money and I have some money, let's pool our money together. We can, you know, sell the originals for more than what she's even asking for, so then we can make our money there. And, you know, again, just having it come all together and pull together. And again, it's a genre that isn't held back by the language barrier, right? It's not something that, you know, if it's only in English, you understand. Or, you know, like we said, there's two other remakes. One's in English and one's in Hindi, I would assume.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just a great... I enjoyed it a lot, and I hope you did, too.
I did. I was happy to watch... you know, I was obviously dialed in and watching it, and, I mean, trying to follow along the con and kind of see where it went. And, yeah, something felt like... It just, we've kind of talked about this on maybe in the heist episode and others, is you're almost trained now to look and try to figure out, oh, like, where's the,
yeah,
and like, where's the catch coming?
Like I said, I'd seen it before, and I still didn't fully quite remember. I still thought it was going to be the younger guy that got screwed in the end, you know, but as I was watching it, I'm like, no, it couldn't be, because he definitely called out all the ways that I was calling it. I'm like, no, don't fall for it, don't fall for it. And then finally by the end, I'm like, I realized that, yeah, no, it was the other way around. And because I remember the scene where they, you know, show everybody
the reveal.
Yeah, the reveal of all the people that you know, that he had hired to get it done. And it is just, I mean, it's more brilliant than anyone would ever be able to do in real life.
Almost too brilliant.
Yeah. Almost like a screenplay. but yeah, I mean, it's reminiscent of, I know you thought about picking The Sting as your movie, and that, I mean, I think that's like the classic con,
yeah,
heisty kind of movie. But yeah, it's I thought that was great that we got another kind of mini heist movie.
It definitely,
in for foreign language. It fit for overarching.
It was a great buffer,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
so absolutely. And I watched that with the rest of them because I was trying to get a jump start on the foreign language. So it was all in the middle for me. So I would say very good recommendation on your part, and a strong recommendation for anyone that hasn't seen it. And that's from 2000. So I mean, it definitely has a little bit of a grainier,
yeah,
look to it. I mean, it's
definitely did, yeah, right.
So it was very solid.
Did Paul Thomas Anderson do Criminal, or who directed Criminal? Why did I think it was? No, I'm thinking of Hard Eight.
No. Hard Eight's definitely PTA.
Yeah. Yeah. Who directed the one that we're talking about?
I don't remember. I could tell you it's John C. Reilly, Diego Luna, and Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Okay, yeah.
Are the three main characters. And then it just, I remember watching it and just feeling like, oh, man, this is, you know, when you've seen a movie and then you see the remake and you're like,
yeah,
yeah, I get what you're doing because it's the same thing, but it just didn't feel as like original or gritty when I saw the remake.
The director is Gregory Jacobs.
Yeah, I just saw that as well.
Yeah, don't know who that is. I don't know why I thought, but it was, I mean, there's lots of movies that start out as foreign movies, and when they do well enough, then they want to make a remake because they know, like you said, American audiences won't sit and read.
And that's interesting. And that's one thing I wanted to talk about, too, as well, because it just speaks to the laziness of
us.
Of Americans. It's crazy. And I think we talked about this a couple months back, even just after we recorded. You know, I felt that way with like the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series. We watched all of the originals.
Yeah, the Spanish version.
And really, good. Really, really loved them. Yeah. And then they were like, well, we're going to make that American version. And I was like, why? These are awesome, awesome movies. And I think they did. And I don't know if they just didn't make enough money, but then they never even made more. They just did the one and they were one
I think
and done.
I think they were planning on making them the second one, but you know, I don't think.
Yeah, they probably spent too much money.
Right.
Because they had to hire.
Well, they hired Fincher and Craig.
Craig and.
To do them both.
And Rooney was young, so she probably wasn't too expensive. But I mean, it's just like, those are awesome. And that actress has gone on to do a lot of movies now and shows. She was in Jack Ryan season 2.
Yes.
So.
I mean, there's.
I don't remember what came up recently when that. Why we started talking about that. Because it was like, oh, they're going to remake that. And we're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, it's another round. I think I told you that they're going to try to make another round and that's just like,
just go watch the original.
Right. Yeah. It's there.
I was thinking of like Vanilla Sky. Have you guys seen that? That's a remake of Open Your Eyes or Abre Los Ojos.
Yes.
And it's funny because Penelope Cruz plays
in
the same.
Both
of them. I love Cameron Crowe. So I liked Vanilla Sky. I thought it was a good movie, but I saw the original and I was like, there's really no need. They didn't improve on it really in any way. There was really no need to make it, but of course they still do.
Yeah. It's just feed the beast.
Yeah.
But it does go to, I think, speak to if they are remaking a foreign language film, it's almost a trigger. Like, you should go watch the original because it's clearly really good, and a lot of people think so, and that's why they're making it for a wider audience. But and this definitely would qualify.
Yeah, another movie I was going to pick for this was Old Boy, the original, which have you guys seen?
I haven't seen it. Actually, I haven't seen the remake either.
Yeah, and the remake is with Spike Lee.
Lee
so I've seen both as
James
well.
James Brolin.
And that did not need a remake. And actually, the original story, the original movie, They change it in the Spike Lee version to make it not as powerful. It looks good. You know, he did a good job with the look of the movie, and it wasn't poorly acted or anything, but it just didn't improve. And it's just another one that didn't need to be made.
Did they change the twist?
Yeah,
haven't seen it.
I'm just asking.
We won't give away, but they do it kind of like subtly in a way that just maybe made it more palatable or something. I don't know.
Now I know there's a twist.
Every foreign movie that gets remade, there's always a twist.
What I was getting was from just what we've been talking about is that every foreign language remake gets a huge act or a huge director attached to it.
Yeah.
Fincher, right. Crowe, Spike Lee.
And it's like, I'm surprised that they want to take it on because, you know, it's nothing. You have nothing to do but ruin it.
Right.
You know, and there's no way to go but down.
Right. And they're all like, you know, film buffs and film nerds. So it's like, you had seen the original. Like, why would you want to touch that? Like, you wouldn't want somebody to remake, like, Do the Right Thing or somebody to, you know, remake Seven or, you know, you're not going to have
Do the Right Thing.
Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing.
Yeah. I don't know. Just was that.
I think your point that you're making is that these aren't cookie cutter directors. Like these are like directors with their own original voices. So I'm surprised that my thing I'm agreeing with you is that I feel like it's weird that they want to take on someone else's vision.
Right. Exactly.
And not necessarily put in their own style. Because he did Old Boy in a normal way. It's not like a Spike. It wasn't a Spike Lee joints per se. You know what I mean? Like,
I bet it said it.
Yeah, I bet it said it. I don't remember that. I'm sure it did. But it just wasn't. It doesn't have the same style and flair that
because
that you're known for.
Somewhat tied to the general arcing story that's already there.
Right, and, right. So that's it's just weird to me that they agreed to take it on. But like you said, it's money.
But right, so like literally everything we named, it was a pretty big name that they did. They all were willing to do it. So
I'm surprised that Brady, your movie selection wasn't remade, or was it?
I have not heard of that being remade, and I would agree, although it had a lot of U.S. success, I think, which might be against the norm, and maybe that was enough. So my selection was City of God. Has been one of my favorite movies for as long as I've seen it, which probably was pretty close to 2002 when it came out. I think a friend of mine that I grew up with, Serge, you met Serge once upon a time
in
New York.
Film guy.
Yeah, Serge, he recommended it to me, and I was kind of like floored by it. I just thought it was amazing. I think I bought it.
It's probably possible that we watched it together then, but I'm not going to.
It's possible. I mean, it was when we were both in Iowa City for sure. It's always been one. Like, I think I made Mary watch it shortly after we were dating. It was just kind of like, this is.
If you don't like this, you don't like me.
this is. I mean, for a long time, I've said, like, this was like in my top five. And it was. I don't know if that's fair or if it was me trying to be, you know, super cool and have a foreign language film in my top five, but
oh, you don't know, you're not aware of City of God.
Sorry, just a foreign.
So cultured.
but yes, you guys had both seen this.
So I came to this movie probably about 2006 or seven when you were living on.
I was
our
like,
couch.
Was it for me?
Yes, you were sitting on the couch one day, and I was just like, I need to watch something, and you're like, City of God, go watch it. And so I went and I watched it, and I remember coming out of the room, and I was like, why don't they make movies like this in America? Like, that was my first thought. I'm like, it was so good.
It's so good.
It was so good.
And
I was
not anyone in it.
No.
It doesn't require a big actor. In fact, almost everyone, there's a ton of people with no acting experience whatsoever.
Yeah, they all did great, right? Like, everyone was
fit the
really
role,
good in it.
Everything. They did what they needed to do. I mean, it's just great story. But I think to your point, like, why don't they make it? They're almost trying too hard a lot.
Yeah.
Like you can do stuff with the bare bones if the content's good.
But at the same time, the first, I think I saw it back right around 2002 as well.
You
wrote
it to the Bijou, I get it. No,
did not. Definitely remember seeing
it. He read
it
the book first.
but my thought was this movie wouldn't have been made if like Pulp Fiction or Quentin Tarantino wasn't as big as he was in the 90s. Like, it had that nonlinear storytelling and just like super violent, and I saw a little bit of that at the time. This viewing, I saw less of that. You know, it seemed even more original than I think the first time. But I remember having that thought when I first saw it. I'm like,
that's a fair.
Cool,
I didn't think about it like that, but that's a fair. I think
because
correlation.
It became a thing to not, you know, after Pulp Fiction, to not have like start in the middle of the story and then kind of go.
You don't have
to
follow the traditional.
Yeah, right. Traditional beginning, middle, and end for a story. But other than that, I mean, like, just like everything about this was very original. The story, that nonlinear telling of it, just the shots, camera angles, like how kinetic or whatever the everything felt like. It just moved very fast, and it was almost like whiplash from some of the quick camera movements. But yeah, it was really good. Held up. I didn't. Like as I was watching it this time, I remembered most of the story, but it was only the second time I'd seen it, so I still was surprised by a lot of things. Like, I forgot a whole chunk of it.
Even it's been a long time, and I remembered kind of like the end, so I kind of knew where we were headed, but there were definitely pieces in the middle. I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of forgot about that. So, and I'm not sure if kinetic's the right word or not, but I'm definitely rolling with it.
The funny thing I enjoyed about it was that, like you said, there weren't a whole lot of known actors or anything like that, but there were a couple that have gone on to be in some other films. Angelica, the main girl, it's Alice Braga. So she's in Predators, the one with Adrian Brody.
I
and
really
one,
yeah. I think I did see that one.
Yeah,
but that's been a while too.
Yeah,
and I don't think I was paying too much attention to.
And she's also the scientist in I Am Legend.
I don't remember that enough.
Yeah. She's also has a TV show that's a remake of a Mexican show, but
interesting.
And then the gun runner, Uncle Sam, the guy who was selling the guns to
Lizzie. Big, like, a lot of hair.
Yeah, and
he had now that you mentioned that, he did look somewhat familiar.
Okay, so him and Shorty,
mm-hmm.
you know, Shorty was the one that killed his wife with the shovel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and yeah. He looked familiar, but I almost just thought it was just from this movie.
No, they're both in Man on Fire.
Really?
So Uncle Sam is the guy that he interrogates in the nightclub and like has the blindfold on him. And he's like, I'm just a Jersey boy. I don't know anything. He's like, he starts telling him like, oh, it's La Voz and all that stuff. That's Uncle Sam. And then Shorty is the voice's brother who he like takes hostage. And then that's who they swap for. They swap him for the brother.
So did you get that on your own or did you have to go a lot of IMDb?
So I remembered Shorty and okay, I picked him up right away and I knew the other guy, but I couldn't figure out like what his name was.
Yeah.
And then I had to go to Wikipedia to find his name. And then when his name popped up, it's one of his top knowns.
That's funny. Interestingly enough, Lil Z, the older, you know, I guess when he was Lil Z, he was just there at the audition to keep his friend company. He wasn't even trying to be in the movie. And ended up being like one of the primary characters in the
young Lil Z.
No, old. He wasn't Lil Z in the when he was young, but
Lil Dice. Sorry.
Right. So yeah, he was Zé Pequeño. but yeah, so he actually, I thought that was really interesting because I mean, you know, there were a ton of people, like I said, a ton of people with no acting experience whatsoever. But I mean, talk about someone with none, and I mean, really, he was a great villain. And, you know, throughout, I thought that was a pretty impressive role for someone like that. And has gone on to do a bunch of other stuff, none of which I had heard of. But and then all like, you know, you get like all the runts and all of a lot of the people in the streets. They were all just people that lived in the slums. And that was a very cool movie. And I think, I mean, like I said, well acclaimed. I mean, it was up for a handful of awards.
I think 4 Oscar noms.
So it was
right?
up. Interestingly enough, it was up for Brazil's official submission for foreign language film, but it didn't get a nomination that year. And then it was redistributed the next year by Miramax. And so then it got a chance again. And that's when it was nominated for 4 awards, including Best Director, but not Best Picture or Best Foreign Language Film, weirdly enough.
Yeah,
so.
That's strange, right? I was looking at the director to see if he'd done anything else that we know. But it is based on a novel, too. I've forgotten. The two things that I really forgot was that it was set in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
Clothing-wise, you kind of can get there.
Yeah, exactly. But it still just didn't, you know, outside of no technology, it didn't always scream that to me. But that's because it just, obviously, it was in, you know, set in Rio. So it felt different anyway. And then, yeah, I forgot that it was kind of based on...
A true story,
or you know, based on a novel.
And so the Runts, I was reading, said they actually, at the end, you know, they're talking about making a list of like people they want to kill.
Yeah.
And the Rat Boys, Runts, grew up to become the now feared Comando Vermelho, or the Red Command. They're like the most notorious gang in Rio, and they're also known to have like an actual death list. And so, like, pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Obviously a fantastical, somewhat of a you know, whatever you want to call it, version of that. But that there is lineage to a very real scenario.
Right.
Were the Runts in the Fast movie that is set in,
this in is Rio? Brazil.
I'm sure some of them were.
Which one was that? Is that 5?
That's 5.
Yeah, 5, yeah. The best one.
I also saw something where the Runts were, they like found out while they were filming, the kids found out that they like kind of what was going to happen at the end. And so they like all went to the director and like, will you write us a sequel? they loved it. They wanted to be in another one.
As we grow.
So no, I still really enjoyed it. It was actually a great rewatch just cause it had been so long. It was fun to go back down. I still think it's a really, really strong movie. Probably not my top 5. It had a moment, but
top 10.
But
top 10.
I do think everyone I think I've recommended it to over the years, Jelani, I'm glad that you you're here to live and tell the tale, has loved it, and I just think it's really good. So all comes from Surge.
I always think the top 5 is a rotating top 5 anyway.
Yeah, yeah,
it's got to be fluid.
Especially
fluid,
over time.
Exactly.
You haven't revisited that top 5 in a while, so. A lot's happened since then.
Right. Well, Martin, will your movie make the top 5
of all time? It might. It's because of the recency of it. It's my movie selection is Parasite that won the Academy Award just last year, and I loved it the second time. I mean, obviously I watched it recently because it's a recent movie, but this rewatch, it was even better than the first time, because the first time watching it, I had no idea what it was about or where it was going.
Sure.
And like that that point in the middle when they're all sitting around the coffee table and they're just like, it seems like everything, you kind of got the movie figured out finally, like what they're doing. They're the parasites. They're, you know, like leeching off this, yep, off this family. And then the doorbell rings and you're just like, where is this going? And then they go into the basement and you're like, I had no idea that's what was going to happen. And it's a totally new movie, right, from that on. And I just love that
and
about it.
I, as someone clearly who didn't know what was going on, yeah, and I've avoided, you know, spoils or whatever, mm-hmm, spoilers, I was, so similar situation, kind of around that point, I think, like, the dog was scratching, and so I, like, paused it, and I was like, how is there, like, an hour left in this movie? Like, what more, how long is this?
Great up to that point, too, right?
Very enjoyable, yeah, very enjoyable. And, I mean, I found myself then multiple times kind of, like, edge of the couch, you know, suspense, just, there's just so much going on. It's so unique of a story, just... I thought it was phenomenal. I we've talked recently about this because us and some other people were going through talking about like Academy Award movies and, yeah, which one was the best. And you guys mentioned this one, and I was like, "What? Like, yeah, really?"
Yeah, I mean, I think when we talked,
I can't go higher octave than that. So
when we talked to Braveheart and Gladiator, oh, you know, sure, we talked about those being, I think, pretty good Best Picture, mm-hmm, pictures. But again, recency bias, I don't know. Right now I'm saying that this is better than both of those, but we'll see if time will
they hold up.
If it holds up the same way. But yeah, I agree. I think it's just a great movie. Maybe the best Academy Award winning movie of all time. So I'll put it there. I won't say it's my top five, but I do.
Just the greatest movie ever.
Just the greatest movie ever.
Just the greatest movie from my greatest award show that I think is the most important.
No, that's my point.
That holds all the weight.
They obviously get it wrong so often. I feel like this time they got it right. So
it's, yeah, way better than Citizen Kane, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, because when I first saw it, I like you, Brady, I had no idea what to expect. I thought it might have been a horror movie, and I was like, all right, maybe
expecting some horror elements,
yeah,
as well.
And so, and
are
then
we sure that didn't qualify?
It kind of qualifies, right?
when the guy pops up at the stairs,
there's a couple of things that I feel like put it in play, but
yeah.
But then yeah, like you see them evolve and how they all kind of weave their way into the family, and you're like, oh yeah, this is the parasite, right? They find somebody, they glom onto them, and they take their lives over. And but then, like you said, the doorbell rings and we're in a new movie altogether, and the whole way it plays out and everything that goes on and happens, and you're just like, the party scene at the end,
yeah,
you're just like, wow, I did not anticipate any of that coming out and any of that happening. And yeah, it was a movie that took you on a ride, and I actually had to go back and rewatch the end because I forgot how it ended.
Yeah.
And
how do you think it ended? Now that you, like, what do you think actually happened at the end? Like, do you think the son, like, does what he plans, sets out to do, or do you think it's, that's all?
Oh,
just...
I didn't take it as that. I took it as that was like the hope.
The pipe dream.
Yeah.
So you don't think he ever gets him out of there?
I'm going to go with it would be borderline impossible for someone in that position to get to the point.
I think that's how I took it.
Before he dies.
Right, like when they were showing like the dream sequence of it, like that he was still looking the same age.
Yeah.
And they, like, he seemingly got all the money to buy the house in a year. Like, yeah, he's never going to get to that point. I think that's
side
part
note,
of the
if no
the
one's point. Buying that, there's no food in that house.
Right. Right. I was thinking of that. But he can get out, so he can... Maybe he seemingly gets in and out.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe he survives, maybe he doesn't. Who knows?
I'll say that the only thing, you know, kind of at the party, I felt like that was somewhat of a leap, just like to what happened. Even the, like.
Which part?
Essentially the dad, what the dad did.
Which?
Attacking.
Yeah, attacking and killing the.
Attacking, right. Mr. Pack.
So I just felt or like Park. That was a bit of a leap.
Yeah.
You know, they even kind of said, like. What does it say? They had a good, pretty good relationship. Like, I understand what where the tension was, and like that was like digging at him.
Yeah,
it still felt like a pretty big leap.
I had the same thing the first time, but then I watched it the second time, and you pay attention to, you know, the two times where he kind of oversteps, where he says, "Oh, and you love your wife," and you could see Mr. Park being like, "You're overstepping here. You're still my employee." But he didn't say it the first time, and the second time he definitely did. He's just like, "You're getting paid to be here."
Yeah.
and then the whole the smell thing yeah, is really what set him off. And then
for sure.
it plays well when you know that going into it. Because I had the same problem with it when I first I was like, is that all it was
per se? Yeah, it just seemed like a lot. Like a leap.
Yeah,
and it just was like, and honestly, like I had a bit of like, were these people really like that bad to them?
Right.
It sure felt like, okay, granted, there was definitely some like behind the back talking, but like that's aggressive. Like this was all working for them.
Yeah, but I think one of the things that you pick up on, especially like leading up to that, is, you know, when they go shopping, right? And she's on the phone the whole time and she's just like, hey, just come over. Don't bring anything. We'll just get drunk, whatever. And you like see that like kind of just building in inside of the dad. And he's just like, yeah, these people don't care about anything else.
I mean, he's in the back of the train
and they're
in the front of the train.
Exactly.
You know, the Snowpiercer class. Warfare that we've talked about on this program.
Yeah, with some similar characters here.
Yeah, exactly.
Similar people involved.
And the same actor, right? Did you guys notice that?
And daughter, right?
The daughter, yeah. She was her?
Yeah, I think so.
Jessica is the daughter from Snowpiercer?
Is that not right?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. She seemed a lot... I mean, obviously, she grew up. She's a lot older, so I didn't check on it. But what I was going to say is,
I just assume so, but I actually might be wrong on that.
The dad, the poor dad.
I'm wrong.
Okay, poor dad, not rich dad. In this, when you see him in introduced, he's always like getting up from like sleeping. Like,
oh yeah.
So he's this, you know, he's sleeping in Snowpiercer, and then I've seen another movie called The Host by Bong Joon-ho that he's in the same way. Like he's just like lazy sleeping and gets so I don't know if that's like a thing that he just likes to do for this actor, which is just kind of funny that
he just plays it well
across three movies.
You look great coming out of a slumber. so I knew for sure was, and I think I even remembered when it won, hearing at the time I was like, oh, he's worked with the same actor in numerous movies, so I knew that part. Mistakenly I made the assumption that that daughter was the same daughter.
Yeah.
So wrong on that, but that's my apologies.
But
definitely some similar people involved, as we did talk about Snowpiercer, and you know,
and just themes, right? Yeah, the whole theme of class, and that's what, like you said, like you think you get it. Oh, who the parasite is, or what? But it, you know, that's the discussion that people will have around in film circles, right? Be like, oh, well, what does he really mean? Like, is it? Are the rich family, is the Park family really the parasite on society because they're just taking feeding off of everyone else,
the lower class
that works for them and stuff like that. And then there's a lower class of people that are just basically in jail.
I think the juxtaposition was while that shopping event happened, it was right after their whole entire neighborhood was destroyed and wrecked by a flood, and they were like living in a gym overnight, and people are auctioning clothes off just to try to survive.
Right.
And then they're oblivious to it. And they were like, oh, that rain really helped.
Yeah.
You know, that's what she's saying on the phone. She's like, oh, that rain was really a cleansing rain or something like that. I can't remember.
Clears up the pollution.
Up top. Their grass was lush.
I mean, and the symbolism there, right, exactly. They're way on the top of the hill.
Cool house, by the way.
Totally cool house.
Right? Like, wait, what?
Badass house. Yeah. It's a... It's a character in and of itself. We've talked about it before too.
So I have not seen Amelie. Very happy that you were forced to make a change because I, for one, got to watch this and would have anyway at some point. But this was a really, really good watch, and I would say a welcome addition to the genre June.
Absolutely. What did you guys think of that whole scene with the blood? It started out with the hot sauce on the pizza, and then they go into the whole plan, and then it ends with the hot sauce on the, or whatever ketchup it was, on the napkin that ends up like...
faking the TB cough.
Yeah, exactly. Faking the tuberculosis. I love that entire sequence. Like, it's just brilliant.
Well, that's when I think you kind of see more of what's going on. Like, first you're like, oh... And in the beginning, I was like, oh, he got this job. Crazy. Good luck. Fortune. He's getting his sister a job to help. Like, why not? You know, you're getting you weren't really hip to the fact that this is a con. And then you started to realize more of that. And then it was like, oh, okay. So, yeah, I thought that was a cool.
Yeah, it just like it was complete right after that. And it was just done. And I love the way they're practicing the speech. What are you going to say? And he's like, Dad, calm down. It just had head-to-head funny moments, and it was just done with such, like, it was only like a minute or two long.
I loved it, because the son's, like, mouthing the words that he wrote clearly wrote for his dad, and he's, like, feeling it. I thought that was just such a crazy, again, like, kind of a realization as to, like, exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
And then also just so well done and so well shot.
I think that whole, you know, sequence alone was, like, worth the Academy Award for him, so.
Anyway. Yeah, pretty awesome. I'll definitely watch this again and might watch it sooner than later just because Mary and I had almost watched it a couple weeks ago and veered in a way different direction. And so this, I love to watch it again. Yeah. So
the other thing I noticed, you know, as you pay more attention on a second viewing is the first scene where they're showing like the socks hanging from the opening scene and the last scene where they were the same too. It was kind of mirror images of each other. Right. It's, you know, the son, it goes down to the son on the phone and then it's him writing the letter or writing his wish of like his fantasy of what he thinks hopes will happen at the end. So it's like, yeah, they definitely kind of blew up their family, both families really.
Yeah. Well, for sure. So it was awesome.
So we hope you enjoy watching these movies. Again, it's Nueve Reinas, City of God, and Parasite. We recommend that you watch them all, put the subtitles on, and just enjoy it. Stay focused, put your phone down, and stay tuned for our next week in Genre June.
Our last.
Last one. Much discussed, much anticipated cult films. What is a cult film?
Find out next week and more.
David Koresh? I got this.
And as always, thanks for listening. Please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're currently enjoying this podcast. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook by searching our OUR Film Fathers. Thanks, and go to bed.